bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
This didn't happen during the show. This was after the show.
Oh, okay.
Tilikum, which is actually the one they call Shamu.
Exact number 74. Teachers, guidance counselors.
I was just thinking, oh my God.
Back with Bill Maher. You know, Bill.
You ever smoke wolf?
Bad
no, not
boy.
Yeah. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And right now I'm looking at Mr. Akio Toyota there on the Larry King Show. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, that guy, you know, the Japanese came here and started selling cars. Anybody put a gun to our heads and tell us we had to buy them? No, I don't recall that happening. Anybody tell us we had to buy? I don't recall that. You know, I've never seen a group of people like the American people. We are as skilled as any in the history of the world at squeezing and worming and sliming our way out of taking responsibility for anything. Anything. No, we didn't do that, man. Obama, Bush, Eisenhower, Washington, Taft, they did it. We wouldn't have bought those Jap cars if A, B, C, D, E, F, G, 85 million different excuses as to why it is we're buying that. And pardon me for using the phrase, the word J-A-P, but I'm using it in more or less a satirical sense. That's the way the average American talks. Don't even worry about it. So I seen this guy. I don't know this guy. I wouldn't know him if I tripped over him in the street. But he apparently makes all kinds of cars, and now they got themselves a big problem. And this is the greatest thing that's happened to the American auto industry. This guy's got it. He's up to his ass in alligators right now. He doesn't know whether to flip, fall in it, or fly away. And it could very well mean the very bitter end of Toyota in America. And do you think the American automakers are going to take this ball and pick up this fumble and run the other way to the goal line for a touchdown? I doubt it. They got too many excuses, man. And if there's one thing that they got in Detroit, they got excuses. See, everybody concentrates on the excuses that they got in Washington. Everybody thinks they're a genius because they're really keeping the eye on the ball, huh? Oh, yeah, I got my eye on the ball. What are you looking at? Oh, those guys in Washington. Oh, yeah, sure. You go ahead. You keep staring at the guys in Washington. Everybody else gets a pass. Everybody else has got excuses like, you know, they got more excuses than they've got, pounds of fat on their ass. So do you think the American automaker is going to pick the ball up and run to the goal line after the Japanese look like they're trying to give the game away? Forget it. It isn't going to happen. You want to know why? Because they got all kinds of excuses. Like the man said, did you ever see that movie, The Hustler?
What was it?
The Hustler. You saw that, Robert, right?
Yeah, I seen the other night with you.
All right. You remember in The Hustler, George C. Scott says to Paul Newman, he says, Eddie, you know, I'm not going to back you, Eddie. I'm not going to back you with money, because Eddie was a good pool player, but he wasn't yet the best, even though he thought he was. And the reason why he wasn't yet the best is because George C. Scott, who is this guy, he's a gambler. He says, Eddie, I'm not going to back you because you still got too many excuses and too many reasons to lose. You got all kinds of reasons why you're losing, so I'm not going to back you. You ain't a winner yet. Well, right now, if you want to know what's wrong with the country, the American people, there's no reason to put any money on the American people yet, because we got too many excuses to lose. We got too many reasons why we're losing. Too many reasons why we can't get up off our ass and pull our country together. Why would anybody want to back us? I mean, if you want to take a look at the Chinese debt as a symbol of something, it's a symbol of a country, China, that was putting its money behind us, and suddenly they're not getting a return on their dollar. You want to know why? Because we're a bunch of losers. They want to get off it. They don't want any more action on us. America ain't winning nothing. They're not winning any races over there. I'm losing my ass over here with all of this. I'm carrying all these markers. I can't collect a nickel back in that pack of losers over there. And what are you talking? Well, they can't agree on the color of the sky over there. They can't agree on anything over there. They're never going to get anything done. And look at them all squabbling and crying and squealing like pigs. You know, because this guy's doing this to them. This guy's doing that to them. They got more freaking excuses than you could possibly ever imagine. Why would anybody want to put their money on the American people? Why would anybody want to back us right now at this moment in history? We've got more reasons why we're losing and why we can't win and why we can't do this and we can't do that. And there's something else we aren't able to do. We are blaming this guy and we don't like that guy. And then there's another guy over here. And then there's this guy, Obama. And then there's another guy, Bush. And then there's this war. And we got it. And as long as we got all our excuses to be a bunch of losers, why the hell are we ever going to want to go out and win anything?
Very well said, Mr. Henry. I can't add nothing to it or nothing.
Thank you. Thank you very much, bud.
I want to shake your hand, Mr. Henry.
Certainly, Robert. We'll shake it off.
No, it was just brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Can I do it, too?
Yeah, go ahead.
Great.
Thank you. What are you doing?
I just want to straighten your tie.
Can you get your hands off of me, man? Thank you. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Coming up, we have a story about a woman who claims she was fired from Hollister? What the hell is Hollister? I thought that was a town. I guess it's something else. She was fired from Hollister for wearing a scarf, a Muslim scarf, I should say. Okay? And this scarf that she was wearing, obviously indicative of her religion. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. We also have Bubba the Love Sponge coming up on the show. And Bubba's going to just talk with us a little bit about radio. You know, he was on terrestrial radio. Then they banished him from terrestrial radio. And a lot of good that did them because he got a job on satellite radio, and which is something that terrestrial radio can't stand when they fire a guy, and he's got options, and he did, and he went to satellite radio, and now he is back on terrestrial radio. So we'll talk with Bubba. He's won multi-awards as a broadcaster, and he's a terrific guy. One other thing that's happening that I wanted to kind of kick around with you, because I'm not really sure what this is about. It's about as weird a thing, and in many ways, I suppose it's to be expected. At the University of California in San Diego, they had an off-campus party called a Compton Cookout, and you were invited to go to this Compton Cookout party. It mocked Black History Month, and the students that went to the Compton Cookout party, I guess, were dressed in some form of gang wear, and they looked like a bunch of inner-city black guys from L.A., and there you go. Women were given directions for dress and deportment. For those of you who are unfamiliar with ghetto chicks usually have gold teeth, start fights and drama, and wear cheap clothes. The party was allegedly linked to some members of the school's Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity. It was called the Compton Cookout. The students who posted the event on Facebook called for attendees to wear cheap clothes and chains and speak loudly. All right, so this caused a problem, as I suppose it might. And the problem, even though it was off campus and it really had nothing to do with an on-campus event, it pissed off a few people, so they had an on-campus teach-in. Well, the on-campus teach-in, the students walked out of, the black students. Black Students Union said, you know what, you can take your teach-in and shove it because we don't particularly think that this is doing any good. We feel we understand the mindset of these students very well. These white kids are making fun of us, and this teach-in is jive-ass, and you can take it and park it. Okay, so that was that. Now, this is the University of California, San Diego. All of that stuff's going on. So they had this Compton Cookout off campus, made fun of the black kids, whatever. The university, well-meaning, said, let's have a teach-in. Let's try to teach these idiots something about race relations. And, you know, we're not telling you you can't have the party because you're adults and it's off campus, but maybe there are other ways of doing these things. What's the point you're trying to make? We don't know. All right. So the Black Students Union said, take your teach-in and stick it, and they walked out of it. I can't say as I blame them, to be honest with you. I'm not knocking the university and their good intentions of trying to educate the students, but by that point, it's a personal thing. Do you understand? It's personal. Oh, well, now let's everybody get together and shake hands. I'm going to shake hands with anybody. Now, on top of all of that, the University of California, San Diego has halted funding for student media after a TV segment ridiculed black students outraged by a party mocking Black History Month. So now, the head of the school's student government froze funding for print media outlets last week. The Koala ran a student TV episode calling black students ungrateful and used a derogatory term for blacks. And it was the N-word. Now, this is at a campus, a UC campus, where students who are trying to learn something about media use the N-word during a broadcast ridiculing black people for their response to this Compton cookout. So basically what you have is this, so that I don't confuse you guys. There's a group of white students who are a-holes. You know, I won't use the word because we're not allowed. There's a group of black students that are pissed off. The university tried to have a teach-in, and they tried to have a cool-out and a chill-out and have everybody hold hands. It ain't going to happen, and I don't blame those students for being pissed off and saying, take your teach-in and go, you know, stick it someplace else because we don't want it, all right? Now, they walked out. So the stupid bastard white kids that had their Compton cookout, I'm talking to you dumbasses, okay, with your N-word. And let me tell you something else, just so you guys know. If you think you're learning anything in your broadcast classes at UC San Diego, you're dumber than you look. You're not going to learn anything about the professional commercial world of broadcasting at your jive-ass college radio or TV station. Because it's not a commercial outlet. So you're not fighting for a commercial dollar. You're just sitting there with your thumb up your rear end doing whatever stupid things you do. Now, I suppose you got a point to make, and what is that? Hi, I'm a dumb cracker down here in Bordertown. I don't know what it is. But what you're doing is you are pushing a situation toward a flammable moment that all the teach-ins in the world aren't going to help. What needs to happen is somebody needs to take some of these white kids aside and smack them upside the face and tell them what's going on. Or maybe they want to start something. In which case, start taking the names down now so that when things get out of hand, you'll know who all the principals were and you can pitch their asses off campus forever. I'm telling you right now, take the names down now. Everybody that works at that paper, everything. Everybody that was at that cookout, I don't give a damn, personally. If you think that this is some kind of subversive eyeballing of students, I'm saying that if these people are pushing other people towards some kind of a conflict or some kind of a fight by using the N-word, then obviously that's what they want. And when that starts, at least you get the names, the addresses, the phone numbers, and the identification, as difficult as it may be to look at some of these people, of the individuals that started it in the first place. Start doing some work right now, you know? You people at the university, start doing a little bit of police work right now. And you can take your teach-ins and just forget about it, all right? So, you know, there are days when teach-ins are not what's called for. Teach-in my ass. You want to have a teach-in, sit all the white kids down and teach their dumb asses something, okay? What, you got black students at that thing? Why is that? All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil.
Phil, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bubba the Love Sponge in just a few minutes. American Idol back on top over NBC's Olympic coverage. That's the headline, but I don't know that the Olympics ever topped American Idol at any time in this most recent Olympic period. In other words, they've not been beating American Idol ever. The Olympics, they're the Winter Olympics. Some people may think that that's significant. I used to think it was significant. I don't really know, though, as we move into the future, just exactly how popular the Olympics are. The Winter Olympics have never really turned this country on as much as the Summer Games. The Summer Games are fun. There's track, there's field, there's this, there's that. Nonetheless, Fox's American Idol has topped NBC's Olympic coverage, although many of the events for the Olympics are on MSNBC, and that certainly helps MSNBC. I mean, they get a good number. so that next month Keith Olbermann can sit there and say, and look, we were number one, 18 to 24. Everybody's coming to MSNBC. And they won't tell you that it was because of the Olympics, just like it was because of election night and not because of your handsome but frightening mug, Keith. All right, all is normal in the world again as Fox's American Idol beat NBC's Olympic coverage Tuesday night of the ratings race. This week starts the official competition portion of American Idol, where viewers call in and vote for their favorite singers. The result will show on Thursday after losing last Wednesday to the Olympics. They did. The first time in 6 years that American Idol lost, the talent show, I seem to remember reading something else. Anyway, the talent show made a strong comeback. And remember what American Idol is, folks, and there's nothing wrong with this. American Idol is... first, last, and always, a game show. It's a game show. There is a competition, just like in a game show. There are cash and prizes, just like in a game show. There's a winner, just like in a game show. And that winner is feted and celebrated, and then they move on to another winner. So it's a game show. It's a very well-produced, it's an explosive and imaginative and fun game show, but that's what it is. All right. The best part of American Idol, though, is when Simon comes on and he tells them, you know what, baby, you got to do something else. You got to do something with your hair. And once you do that, get another career ID, okay? I don't mean to be cruel, but hey. So here is Ashley Rodriguez. She performs Leona Lewis's Happy, and then Simon rips her an ass, if you'll pardon the expression.
So what if it hurts me? So what if I break down? So what if this world just throws me off the edge? My feet are on that ground. I got to find my place. I got to hear myself. Don't care about all the pain in front of me. I'm just trying to be happy. 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 Just trying to be happy.
All right, Simon.
I thought it was clumsy, your version. I didn't like the arrangement. And I've got to tell you, if I'm being honest with you, I think you're going backwards. From the very first time we met you, I don't feel you as a contemporary recording artist, just somebody who sings other people's songs not very well. So there was no originality there. So I actually think you could be in trouble after tonight, I'm afraid, after that. Sorry.
The guy's the best. I love him. That's exactly what we need more of that in this country, I'll tell you. Janelle Walker takes a song called What About Love by Heart and, you know, doesn't do it very good.
You've been hiding, never let.
So here is Randy Jackson. And
listen, I mean, wasn't my favorite song choice for you. And I remember seeing you in Orlando when I was watching this back. I actually like your voice. You got a very different, interesting kind of voice. To me, the song choice just didn't work for you because it's, again, one of those huge songs. It's hard to bring something different and unique and original to it. And you didn't quite do that. But I still got vibes for you, man. I like your voice.
Well, that doesn't mean anything, Randy. Just tell her. She's got very little chance of moving on to the next round unless... the vibes that you have for her, you know, transcend into something a little more significant, but that's none of my business. All right, so there's American Idol, and like I said, you know, I started out as a fan of the show, and then I got tired of the show, and then I realized the service that that show does, the entertainment industry, seriously, just like the service that The Apprentice sort of does to the business world, which is to say, you stink. Don't go into this as a career. Do something that is more worthy of your talents. We should have one in the broadcast game. I might talk to Bubba about that, you know. Well, we'll have American Jackass, where we have broadcasters sit there, and I don't know, they'll do 15 minutes of a rap or something, or maybe an hour of a talk show, and then we'll say, forget it, you know. I'd rather listen to fingernails on a chalkboard than you. And I say that with all due respect. Only our version will follow them out of the studio and then down the street and then into their car as they pipe the exhaust in. I'm kidding.
Oh, boy. That's just the kind of a thing that'll get people mad at you.
I'm kidding around, okay? By the way, Steve Bozell, he didn't have time to get into this too heavy, but he told us that this song from Little Mermaid also caused him to lose his ability to make love to his wife.
What is this?
It's called Part of Your World, and it's from Little Mermaid.
Isn't it neat?
Yeah, so. All right, Bubba the Love Sponge next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You think I'm the girl,
this is pretty.
The girl who has
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock out west and 4 a.m. on the east coast. And we're really happy to have with us a gracious, nice guy. Had me on his show last month. And we're not just returning the favor. We're very much fans of Bubba the Love Sponge joining us tonight. Bubba, as you know, is not only is he a radio star, radio personality, he's won multiple awards from Billboard Radio and Records, including 4 consecutive Radio and Record DJ of the Year awards, 6 Billboard Rock Air Personality of the Year awards. His show is syndicated live on Cox Radio, and it can be heard on Sirius XM Channel 101. And to that end, Bubba, you got a website for your uncensored and unedited stuff, BubbaRod.com, right, man?
Man, you think with all those accolades, I make a hell of a lot more money than I do, but I don't.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, like, you were in terrestrial radio, and then you were, like so many guys, suddenly you were told you're not wanted anymore in terrestrial radio. And why was that, man? Tell me what happened there, man. Where were you, and what happened that you got bounced from, the regular terrestrial airwaves?
That was the infamous, Super Bowl of, what, 04? Janet Jackson's infamous wardrobe malfunction, which I think is just now going to court now. I was with Clear Channel at that time, and the infamous broadcast initiative or clean up the airways initiative that the Republicans were led by that Upton character out of Michigan, and Howard and I were the casualties within Clear Channel, and I think I really don't know of any other bigger show.
Well, I can tell you, it's very interesting, Bubba, because this was a big argument. I can tell you what happened, because I'd had a conversation with my boss at Clear Channel at the time. And as you know, it happened on television, but radio got targeted. So you got bounced from Clear Channel, and Howard got bounced from Clear Channel, and a few other shows. So that's weird, man. There was no specific thing. They just said, you know what, you're too weird for us, because Janet Jackson showed us her breast.
Yeah, and hindsight being now, I mean, it wasn't even that nice of a breast shot, to be honest with you. And
she had hardware around it, and
you really had to be a sicko, because in order to get a good clear bearing on it, you had to have it TiVo'd and rewind it and really analyze it. So it was just the times that we live in now and then, and obviously we don't live in those times now. And it's amazing what the government can do when they get behind a project, regardless of what it is, and how they can just railroad anybody. And you know what, Phil? You probably said it the best of anybody I've ever heard say, and that is the fact that it was a television matter that radio got hung out to dry on.
Yeah, and why do you suppose that is, man? I mean, I got my theory, and my theory is that radio, the FCC and the people that run the radio industry are so in each other's beds, so to speak, that they... radio knows they need to get licensed. They need to get licenses for the station, so they'll go ahead and they'll fire their own people. In other words, they collude with the FCC. That's my theory, but I don't know.
I think your theory is dead on. And, you know, Randy Michaels, the great ex-CEO of Clear Channel, once said, you know, why, in all the indecency things that have ever happened or gone down, why hasn't a personality or a company ever actually gone through the process of going to court and having them being deemed, you know, by a judge or a jury or a mediation panel, you know, your offensive and these infamous loosely knit community standards things that you and I have to go by, you know, daily. And I guarantee you the community standards in Terre Haute, Indiana is far different than Los Angeles, California, and Tampa, Florida. So nobody's ever taken the FCC or our governing body to task and said, let's go to court and fight it and let the air personality such as yourself or myself or Howard get on the stand and testify. They always just cowtail to the FCC because of all the
right.
All the licensing procedures, and every 7 or 5 years you have to come up for renewal. I mean, it's glorified shakedowns, what it is.
Oh, dude, it absolutely. It was really funny. We had an FCC commissioner here, and I never tire of telling this story. I asked him, is it okay for me to say a certain word after 10 o'clock? He said, that's safe harbor. I would think so. I said, well, you're an FCC commissioner. You should know. And he said, well, talk to your lawyer about it. I said, wait a minute. My lawyer is going to ask you.
Right.
So this is, it is a barefaced, it's really a barefaced con game, and you said it best, a shakedown, that they think nobody's going to call them on. The radio industry won't call them on it because the radio industry is too scared. So, you know, Bubba, so you get bounced, and how did you find your way over to Sirius? You know, because I felt that Sirius, I felt satellite was the future.
Well, you know, oddly enough, and your name's been mentioned a ton, and I promise you, and I just, you know, established a friendship with you recently through having on my show, mm-hmm. and now here. I've always been a big fan, but in 04, immediately after I got fired, Sirius called me about doing mornings, mm-hmm. and at mm-hmm. that time, you know, there was no mention of Howard, and so I was all set to be the morning man, and then my deal got put on hold because Howard raised his head up, and rightfully
oh, well.
So, and yeah. rightfully so. But Howard said, hey, you know, I'm not going to bounce this guy out of a gig. I'd like to talk to him about being part of my channel. So I went up to Howard and met with him and Buchwald. We really hit it off. Well, in that conversation, which would have been middle of 05, Howard says, hey, honestly, as much as all these DJs and everybody does all this infighting and all this bitching about each other, you know, who do you know that you respect in the industry? And I said, well, you know, there's only a few. And I said, you know, Kevin Matthews, the old Kevin Matthews out of AM 1000.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Kev head. And
he's great, man.
Yeah. I said, Phil Henry out of Los Angeles. And then that's when Howard said, hey, you know what? I've seen him do a show before.
And mm-hmm. Yeah, he came out to KFI, you know.
And he said, I love that guy. And so we kind of put our heads together what we thought. You know, but everybody was really scared and didn't really know. It was kind of very much an uncertain, you know, uncharted territory. They don't have the money for you or me like they did for Howard. You know, it's a one-time mm-hmm. shot. And I had to go mm-hmm. and had no other options. And so Howard really was really kind. And I don't know necessarily, Phil, if I would have gotten back into radio if Howard not taken a chance on me, because I only was able to resurrect my career with Cox on terrestrial radio after I became somewhat of a commodity again on satellite.
You know, man, that you know, you bring up something, Bubba, and we're talking with Bubba the Love Sponge, and Bubba's heard not only on terrestrial radio, on the Cox radio stations, but on Sirius XM. And, in fact, you're going to be on the air here, man, what, in another 3 hours? Jeez, you get to work early, brother. Maybe 2.5 hours, huh?
Yeah, I'll be there. I get to the station about 5, and it's 3:39 now. So I woke up.
Oh, cool.
I usually wake up about 4:15, but when my producer, Brent Hadley, said, hey, man, Phil wants to have you on, and you have to be at 3:30 our time, I'm like, you know what? That's one son of a bitch I'll get up early for.
I appreciate that, man. We wouldn't have made you do it, but I appreciate that. But I think you bring something up, Bubba, and I don't understand how our industry can ignore a seminal figure like Howard Stern. Every time I turn around, somebody's bad-mouthing him. Every time I turn around, someone's saying, Howard this, Howard that, he ain't no good, you know, he's done this. But he is, he's a seminal figure. He is somebody who obviously opened up programming and content for us in ways that, you know, we didn't do ourselves. And he's a nice man. Look at what he did for you. And I've had personal experience with him. Why is it our business, and it isn't you and me, and I don't think it's the other talent, I think it's the management and the executives, why can't they bring themselves to honor this guy? Why do they always have to see him talk about him as if he's a liability? They know full well he isn't.
Well, I think the reason why is because he's usually their competition, and when he has been your competition, you know, it's never it's never cool to talk good about your competition. A lot of people don't come from the same school that you and I do, Phil, where, you know, you and I will actually pay some homage to somebody and say, hey, you know, that guy's good, or, man, that guy's making some good bread, or, you know, so the reason why everybody always does all this infighting is because everybody in radio, and really, most people in radio are a bunch of little sniveling bitches, and they're all, you know, they're all jealous, and you know why? If you're an air personality and you've talked crap about Howard, well, you, one, probably don't know him. You probably never met the man. Ever. Two, you probably believe most of his radio shtick on the air, you know, that he's that in his aggressiveness like you and I are. Two, he might have been your competition at one time. And three, if you're going to be honest with yourself, you're probably jealous because there's not a man that I know wouldn't want to make $100 million a year. Or even when Howard was poor and making $41 million a year with CBS, I'll take that bread all day.
Oh, sure. You know? Hey, hey, Bubba, yeah, no kidding, man. I can't even tell you what I'd work for now and be perfectly happy.
I bet you I make
happy,
less than you do. I bet you I make less than you do.
Oh, man. I might take that bet. But, hey, Bubba, here's what I want to ask you, man. You know, your story from terrestrial to satellite radio and the fact that you have been able to, you know, kind of stick your nose up out of the sand, head and shoulders above everybody else. You've had some rocky roads there, man. One of them was that do you want to talk about that hog butchering episode,
I'll talk about anything, Phil, with you.
That was, dude, that's never been done before or since. I don't think that anything like that has been done since Ozzy bit the head off that freaking dove. In that record executive's office.
Man,
so
I
tell
won't...
me about you.
We're getting ready to do the leech challenge with leeches here next week, and I'm a little hesitant even about killing leeches just because of the PETA people. And now I've had a hand. I grew up on a farm in Indiana. I've had animals all my life. I would never ever think about being mean to an animal. And so in 04 we did this thing. No, in 02 we did this thing called the. Bubba's Roadkill Barbecue. And what we were going to do is we were going to have all these rednecks bring in all this roadkill for Metallica tickets, you know, possums and raccoons and squirrels that had been hit by trucks. Well, early in the morning, about 6 a.m., we had this hunter call us up, and he said, hey, I'm a trapper for a living, and I'm recognized by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission, and I'm licensed and stuff like that. Well, I trap wild feral hogs on people's properties down here in Florida. These things in the rural areas, they get on your property and they just tear it up. Well, this guy gets paid a couple hundred bucks to come and get these big pigs out of these wild feral hogs out of your property. Well, he goes, once I get it, I kill them and I butcher them and eat them for my family. You know, they're like a regular hog. And I said, he goes, you know, churches do it every Sunday for fundraisers and things like that. And there's three ways that you can kill a hog legally and within shoot it and you can cut its throat and whatever. Yeah. So yeah, I really don't know much about that. So
the butcher business, man, it's weird. Yeah,
you got a quarter. It's called quartering. So Brett Hatley, my producer, called up the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission and real fast and said, hey, listen, man, we have this thing that's going on at 7:15, about an hour from now, and can we have this hunter kill this pig in the parking lot and we quarter it and eat it? And they're like, yeah, there ain't no problem. Just, you know, so we had this pig and. And we didn't know. A nice little swerve prior to the killing is that hunter says, well, you know, you got to cut off its testicles prior to killing it because if you don't cut off the hog's testicles prior to killing it, it will have a surge of testosterone in the meat, which will give the meat more of a gamey taste, and that's not cool. I said, all right, well, cut its testicles off. You know what? It's not mine. You know, so. So at the end of the day, now this is all live on the air, and they cut the testicles off, and they kill the pig, and we quarter it, and we eat it. We eat it immediately, and we barbecue it up. And, well, the PETA organized against me, and they burnt the state attorney's fax machine up at that time, and I got put in jail for a day for animal cruelty.
You got put in jail? No kidding. Even though you did it by the book, you went to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Cats, and they all said everything's good. Wow.
Yeah, but they did it. They said animal cruelty on the basis of entertainment. Now, meanwhile, That night before I went, so I had to go to trial in front of a jury and had, you know, spent my Clear Channel, God bless them, spent $1 million to try it. And so anyway, the night before we go to trial, the judge offhandedly said, you know, I was watching the Wildlife Channel versus the night before, and they showed a man and a son going out and blasting turkeys with their shotguns. What's the difference between those guys blasting turkeys with their shotguns and this guy having done it? One's audio and one's visual. What's worse? And
right.
So,
yeah.
That kind
this
of
was the judge.
This was the judge, Bubba? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you had a, it wasn't a jury, was it? It was the judge was going to
make a
call
on this
thing?
No, it was a jury trial. And we were,
oh, jury, okay.
We were found not guilty. And oddly enough, here's the biggest, funniest thing of all. The foreman of the jury, after they got done with the verdict, we were cleared in 52 minutes. The foreman of the jury said it was odd that the state of Florida was trying this man for killing of a hog when they served us ham sandwiches for lunch.
Beautiful, so, man. Beautiful.
I will tell you, it was hindsight being, you know, it was very distasteful. You know, I'm in the distasteful business. But I don't want to be so distasteful that I have to go on trial. I would never do anything like that again. It was very shocking.
But Bubba, you know, you were raised on a farm. You were slaughtering this animal the way these animals are slaughtered all the time by these hunters and by others. You encapsulated this and ensconced this in a personal tale and a personal. This is what radio's about, you know.
Yeah.
You ain't going to make PETA understand it. And it seems to me like you're one of my heroes, man, because every time you're either doing a radio show or you're on trial for something or you're getting you're getting fired for something that you didn't do, you know.
Oh, it was amazing. But the state of Florida took off four of its homicide detectives from the city of Tampa to investigate my hog deal. And
murder.
Yeah,
yeah,
it was
unreal.
The resources they used to put me on trial, but it was crazy.
Hey man, Bubba, I'm gonna let you go, man, because we're about ready to wrap up. You got a radio show you got to prep, and I know what that's like. And I just want to let people know to go to bubbarod.com, or they can go over to your regular show website, which is www.btls.com. But bubbarod.com, they get all the uncensored. It's a membership site for the uncensored, not edited content of your satellite show.
A lot of strippers, a lot of things like that. Do you ever have strippers
in there? No, dude. I'm not really the stripper kind of a radio show. It's more of the fantasy thing with the characters and
Ted's in the house. I love Ted.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know what, man? I got to get you a bowling shirt or something, or
I got to
call
something.
Your show as Ted or something. Yeah.
Hey,
brother. Thanks a lot. I'm
going to
be in New York.
Don't be a stranger on my show as well, my friend. I really, really, really love your work, Phil.
Thanks, Bubba. And I'm going to be in New York, and if you're there, we'll have a pop or something, huh?
Please do, man. Hey, you guys on the West Coast, be safe, man. I love you, buddy.
Love you, too, man. Thank you. Bubba the Love Sponge,
thank
guys.
You.
Going on the air on Sirius XM in an hour or so. Coming up, the stories we couldn't get to here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Hey, coming up, don't forget, Crime Night with Dr. Michael Stone on Friday. Plus, in the coming weeks, we'll be joined by Rick Sanchez, Adam Carolla, and Red Eyes. Andy Levy will be with us. Time now for the stories we didn't get to on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Journal lifts lid on drunken voyage down under. A hair-raising tale of drunken debauchery among officers and passengers on a ship taking them to settle in Australia in the 1830s has been revealed in a journal to be auctioned this month. The detailed account kept by James Bell, a junior officer on Planter, reveals the ship's captain shared his bed with two daughters of a preacher and that a gang of prostitutes also made the voyage. Our captain, of course, could not want a mistress till he returned to his own in England, but made love to two of McGowan's daughters, Bell wrote in extracts released by Bonham's Auction House. The captain was allowed to keep the daughters company at all hours, and during the whole time of our being in warm weather, our bed on deck sufficed for all three. While not engaging in amorous conquest, the captain frequently clashed with other crew members in alcohol-fueled fights. According to Bell's Journal, the captain and surgeon, having last evening disagreed and begun to review each other's conduct, the dispute ran so high as to provoke the former to knock the latter down with his fist, Mr. Bell wrote. Of the women aboard, he said they were natives of some obscene alley and some obscene street of that renowned city, London, and who are conveying in themselves all the filth of the place of their nativity to Adelaide. God. Anyway, the ship sailed from Deptford to London on November the 25th, 1838, and it reached Australia on May 16th, 1839. The 225-page volume, which was bought for a few pounds at a bookstall, is expected to fetch up to $6,200 when it's auctioned at Bonhams in London on March 23rd. That's one of them, what do you call it, bud?
You gotta go to a used bookstore and look at junk like that.
Every now and again, you know, you're gonna find something like that. In Uniontown, Pennsylvania, a southwestern county prison board says a permanent solution to toilet-clogging inmates at the county jail could cost up to $200,000. The Fayette County commissioners who heard the prison board say inmates clogged the county jail's outmoded sewer lines by flushing sheets, pants, and other items, even light bulbs, down the toilets in their cells. They do this to protest various things. A county engineer estimates it could cost $50,000 to $200,000 to install equipment that could grind up or screen out such obstructions. For now, such items must be removed by hand. That's complicated by the fact that the prison was built in 1886 and has outmoded 4-inch sewer lines. Oh, there you go. Toilets and jails, you know, it's a centuries-old problem. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance, technical director Ralph Rodriguez. Until tonight or tomorrow morning, a very pleasant good morning from El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.